you take that book off? First of all, we want to thank the Miguel family for that special music. Sometimes the special music is really special, the simple ones. And in the past couple of weeks, I recall that we had the Dahl children up here and now the Miguel family. You know, it's special when you have young people that's willing to get up in front of the church and do special music. Amen? Because young people could be out there doing many, many, many different things today. As always, it's a privilege and honor to be your speaker today. On behalf of Pastor Art Bushnell, we want to welcome each and every one of you here. We invite you to stay during our potluck lunch. You know, as I said, that sometimes when you break bread with others, that it's a special bond that is made and that's created. So let's create a special bond today. I will ask for you to pray for me that God use me in a special way for his glory. This past week, last year this time, I remember that I was called to jury duty. Our world today is fascinated by the court process. The court process is considered to be even entertaining today. We have numerous TV shows that feed off the subject of court. During the day, we can tune into Judge Lopez, Judge Mathis, Judge Joe Brown. And if you don't like him, you can turn into Judge Judy, you know, that feisty lady, and the People's Court. They even have what you would call today the divorce court. And I hope that we're not watching that. But if that's not enough, we have the Law and Order and Boston Legal. My friends, I come today to tell you to get your case ready for your day in court. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, take all eyes off the messenger today and lay them on the message. Send your Holy Spirit to touch each heart that we will hear your voice. Feel your touch. Experience your love through your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It has been said that it's better that 99 guilty men be set free than for one innocent man to be unjustly imprisoned. But what do you think? Which do you think is worse? For a guilty person to go free, unpunished, or for an innocent person to be falsely accused, wrongly punished? No one really wants a guilty criminal to be set free, to endanger us or our loved ones. But do any of us really want an innocent person to be punished for something that they just didn't do? Let me ask you a personal question. Have you ever been accused of doing something you didn't do? Or saying something you never said at all? I have. And if you grew up with brothers and sisters, the answer is bound to be yes. Maybe you was blamed for something that somebody else did, but you ended up taking the rap, taking the fall, taking their punishment. I remember the spankings, and them spankings was hard to accept when you're young, especially if you knew that you were innocent. My friends, it's one thing to be falsely accused. It's another thing to be falsely punished. In this world, we know that there are guilty people walking around who has never been punished for their crimes. And innocent people who are locked up, who are punished for things that they never did. One of the biggest arguments against capital punishment today is that sometimes guilty people are unjustly executed. My friends, if justice was only perfect, if justice was only perfect today, but it isn't. Just ask Mr. Byron Hasley is one example. A judge threw out his convictions against Byron, a man who served more than 22 years in prison for the rape and murder of two children, after the DNA test showed that a neighbor may have committed the crime. I just want to thank Jesus Christ, Byron said, after walking out the Union County Jail. Remember a few years back, the sensational courtroom trial that captured the attention of much of the world? The American football hero on trial for murdering his wife. The jury decision, not guilty. Some rejoiced that justice had been served. Others was convinced that a guilty man was set free. My friends, I have some bad news for you today. I have some bad news for each and every one of you here, because you have been accused of something so truly bad that the penalty is death. And I have even more bad news for you. Every one of you is guilty as charged. John, Arthur, guilty as charged. Sheila, JoJo, guilty as charged. Bob, Paul, guilty as charged. And your day in court is coming, and that is certain. But you know the worst news of all? The worst news of all is I am just as guilty as you are, and I'm going to court too. Isn't that bad? I'm going to court too. You know how I know this? Because it is written in the Word of God. Let's read about it in the 14th chapter of Revelation. Revelation 14:6 says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for his hour of judgment has come." My friends, all is included in this judgment. God's judgment is for each and every one of us. It's for all of us. And this is no TV show, no earthly court. This is no trial of the century. This is a trial of the ages. The final drama in the history of the world. The great controversy between good and evil will finally, fully be settled for each and every one of us and all mankind to see. Acts 17:31 says, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. My friends, we as Adventists believe that we have entered that judgment hour. The destiny of the world is now being decided. You may ask, Elder Gray, what's the reason for this judgment? Why is there judgment before Christ comes? Doesn't God know who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost? How about me? But that's part of the great controversy between good and evil, my friends. The Bible says Lucifer rebelled against God and led the universe into disobedience. Lucifer wanted to sit on the throne. Lucifer wanted to be in charge. He rejected God's authority. He rejected God's justice. He rejected God's love. Lucifer claimed that God was unfair. And Lucifer deceived Adam and Eve, which led to man's rebellion on earth. Before the universe, Lucifer has charged God. He says, God is unfair. God is not righteous. God's way is not the best way. God's laws can't be kept. So God is also on trial in his own universe. God is on trial. You and I and God is on trial. The heavenly records record God's justice. All the universe will see that God loves each and every one of us so much that he is doing everything possible to save each and every one of you in spite of yourselves. In spite of myself. He is trying his best to save each and every one of us. So, my friends, you and I are evidence in the trial. Let me say that again. You and I are evidence in this trial. If you were charged today with being a Christian, that they would put you in jail, could you be sent to jail? Or would they say, not enough evidence? Not enough evidence that you're a Christian. Imposter. 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 Let him go. Set him free. That's not a Christian. Could you be charged today with being a Christian? Just go back at times and think about what your past life, the past week. Could you be charged today with being a Christian? As our lives come up before God in judgment, God asks, could I have done anything to save the chaplain? Could I have done anything more to save Sheila, to save Mike, or Phoebe? But it would also be evidence to the whole world that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe it, I don't care what you've done in your past, whosoever, that could be me, the chaplain, Bob, any of us, whosoever believe in him will not perish, but what? Will have everlasting life. Amen. I don't care about your past. God don't care about your past. He cares about your future. He cares about your future. This is no joke. There's no time to sleep. No time to sleep this morning. We should be getting hot. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Isn't that serious enough to stay awake for 1 hour? Isn't that serious enough? My friends, whoever is lost, it will not be because God didn't love them. It was their choice. It was their choice. Either you accepted or rejected God's authority. Either you accepted or rejected God's justice. Either you accepted or rejected God's love. My friends, God didn't create the human race as some speck of dust in the universe, but as individuals with the capacity to love. Whether you're saved or not, your case is in your hands. I say that again. Whether you're saved or not, your case is in your hands. It's your choice. Your destiny is determined by your choice. You can't blame mother and father. Or that's something that happened 20 years ago. You better get a grip. Something happened 20 years ago. You can't blame mother and father. You can't blame the husband or wife. If only I had married the right person. You can't say that. Why you acting all crazy? You can't say that because God don't want us to do that. You got to stop blaming the boss, the children. We have to make the right choice and choose Jesus today. Because Jesus' arms are strong enough to carry you through the trials and the struggles of life. It says, yield not to temptation, because yielding is sin. Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strength, and he'll keep you. He is willing to aid you. Jesus will carry you through. That's what it's all about. Romans 14:12 says, So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. It's our own responsibility. So each of us will give account of himself to God. In the judgment, you know, we come in here looking fancy. Y'all look good today. But in the judgment, you can't pretend to be somebody you're not. You can't pretend to be somebody you're not. My friends, some of us is here today, we feel like we're ready for court. We're ready for that trial. I can hear you now. You may say, I came to church every Sabbath. I was there at every Sabbath of the year. And I tried to stay awake through most of the sermon. You may say, I sung in the choir. I look good. I sung every week. And you can hardly hold a note. I taught in the Sabbath school. I was a deacon. I was an elder. But in the judgment, there will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we had the tendency to forget the other days in the week. Monday, when we just wanted to tell your boss how you really feel about him. On Tuesday, when you're just struggling to make it from day to day. Pressure getting to you. On Wednesdays, when you spoke them unkind words to your husband, your wife, and your children. On the Sabbath, the fight you had before you left home or on the way to church in the car. He says, Elder Greg, what's the point? What's your point? My friends, the fact of the matter is there is no secrets from God. No surprise witnesses, and your case will be heard in open court. The story was told that once in the packed theater, the movie stopped. The lights came on. An announcement was made. If anyone's here with another man's wife, they better leave quickly because her husband just ran in the front door with a gun to shoot him. My friend, 17 couples got out and ran out the door that day. When we appear before God in the judgment, we're not as we pretend to be, but as we actually are. Not with a facade, but dressed in truth for all to see. Church, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. And when the sands of life and the hourglass of time run out, will you be ready for your day in court? Will you be ready for your day in court? You may say, Elder Greer, my life has been so bad. You don't know about me. You don't even know me. My life has been so bad. And you're right. I don't know. But Jesus is ready to take your case anyway. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, it says, he is able to save the uttermost of those who come to God through him, since he always lived to make intercession for them. My friends, when our name comes up before God, so will our sins of each of our lives. If you accept Jesus today, Jesus will say, it's true, the sins that Elder Greer committed, the sins that he committed all along his life. But Father, I died for him, and I intercede for him. It's right, he broke the law, but I kept the law. It's right, he deserved death, but I deserve life. Father, credit my life to him today. And all heaven will rejoice. And you know what the verdict will be? Case closed, my friends. Case closed. Because Jesus has never lost a case. The Bible says in John 2:1, it says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. Anita, can you come up and play I'd Rather Have Jesus? Or you can, on 327, please, softly. You know, when lives come to an end, the only thing that counts is not your bank account, not the car, not the house, but is my life in Jesus' hands today. That's the most important thing. That's all we should be focusing on today, is turning our case, our life over to Jesus. My friends, it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship today. And only as I repent and confess in my open heart can he save me in this judgment hour. My friend, the Bible says time is short. And I remember one day me and my wife was driving along the highway about 24 years ago in the state of Georgia. She had just got in Georgia at that time and was just learning to drive. And as we was driving down the highway, it was a pretty clear day. Little raindrops started falling. And all of a sudden, we looked out the window, and it was so much rain that you couldn't see in front of your eyes. That was the most rain that I had ever seen in my life. And when that rain started falling, we couldn't see. And she was driving about 50 or 60 miles an hour. And I said, honey, pull over. Honey, pull over. Honey, pull over now. She pulled over abruptly. And as we sat there, and as suddenly as the rain started, the rain stopped. And we looked in front of us, and no more than 1 foot. There was a car that was parked sitting. Our lives were saved that day, no doubt in my mind, because we didn't see that car. It was parked there with no one in it, and we was going about 60 miles an hour, and we didn't see it at all. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Don't wait too late. You know, Perry Mason may be good, and so is Judge Judy. But I'd rather have Jesus any day in the week. Amen? I'd rather have Jesus any day in the week. There's no game. Because God is guiding each and every one of your lives. There's a reason that you're here today. This didn't happen by chance. Like Bob was saying today, he grew up in the school and grew up in God. This is not by chance that you're here today listening to this message. Because God wants each and every one of you to hear and to prepare your day in court. Revelation 22:12 says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his word. The decision that's made today will settle our destiny for eternity. And you can make that decision today. You can say, I'm tired of looking down. I'm tired of being beat down week after week. The gas price is going up. The food price is going up. I can't hold on. You know what? The Lord wants you to reach up. He don't want you to look down. He wants you to reach up and take his hand. Because we'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have him than riches untold. You can have assurance of that salvation today. Because Christ is speaking to your heart. If you want to make that decision today, and if you want to live with him forever, and if you want him to take your case, if you feel like that, just stand up and join us as we turn to 327. I'd rather have Jesus.
What you rather have?
I'd rather have Jesus.
hearts that someone has heard something, that we will hand our life, our troubles in life, over to you. This is real. This is reality. Heavenly Father, be with us this week, that we will use your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and make the right decisions for our eternity. These blessings we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may receive it.